The Celtics pieced together a win in Dallas, and Gordon Hayward a little more hurt than we thought. For Thursday Locked On Celtics, Millie's Let's Go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my Seas jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the Seas, it's the best way. Melly.
It's early in the morning here in Dallas, Texas, where the Boston Celtics are waking up at some point soon to go home to Boston with a 109-103 win in their pocket. I'm John Corrales of MassLive.com. I cover the Celtics. You might have seen me staring at the referees during a review in the if you were watching the NBC Sports Boston broadcast. That was a fun moment. Nice seats for me at the American Airlines Arena, sitting courtside for this game. I'm going to be quick here on this podcast because it is 3 in the morning and I wanted to get you a podcast. I want to talk a little bit about this game. And then on Thursday, the Celtics are off on Thursday. So for the Friday podcast, we'll expand that. I'll see if I can get maybe Tom Westerholm on and we can kind of dive back in, can maybe rewatch the game and get into some more intricacies there. But for now, let's kind of run through a couple of these things that happened here in this game. Celtics, again, win 109-103. Very top-heavy Boston Celtics. 32 points for Kemba Walker on 9 of 18 shooting, 5 of 10 from 3, 9 of 11 from the line. Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum combined for 50 points, 26 for Brown on 8 of 18 shooting, 24 for Tatum on 10 of 23. The Celtics, one thing that Brad Stevens did here is obviously you open and close the game with those three guys on the floor at the same time, but he did stagger, and without Gordon Hayward, who I'll talk about in the second segment, without Gordon Hayward, and usually what Brad Stevens had done was taking Hayward and Tatum out at the same time earlier in the first quarter, bringing them back in to close the first quarter and to start the second quarter. He let Kemba Walker go the whole first quarter and then brought him in to kind of in the middle of the second quarter and the middle of the third quarter to kind of run with full bench units. And he was out there with a weird bunch for a stretch there with Romeo Langford and Grant Williams, Javonte Green, and was it Enes Kanter? I forget what that lineup was, but whatever it was not something that we usually see. And I think, and Brad kind of, I don't want to say admitted, there's not like there's anything to admit to, but talked about after the game, Kemba is the guy that kind of, the game comes so easy to him. He can score so easily. It almost was like a sort of Charlotte Kemba type of thing that Brad says, okay, we know Kemba's carried some pretty shitty teams in Charlotte. We know that he can work with teammates that might not know much about what they're doing. And not that these guys are not good players. They're not quite complete players yet for sure. And they haven't played together. So some of those lineups that Brad threw out there were not going to be very cohesive. But because Kemba is Kemba, you could throw a lineup like that out there and Kemba could get the job done, in which he did for the most part. Look, the Celtics started off slowly. As Brad put it, they looked asleep. Kemba Walker scored 16 points in the first quarter. That right there might have won them the game, because if Kemba doesn't go off in that stretch, then the Celtics were kind of screwed early, and it would have been tough for them to climb out of that hole. So Kemba's 16 first quarter points were huge. I mean, I always talk about clutch performances that are not in the fourth quarter. I mean, that you can classify that as a clutch performance because 16 points in a quarter is huge, and that was a spot where they needed him to perform. So he was big early, he was big late, and in the middle you have Jalen and Jason coming in, kind of working off of one another, and which they've really come to do pretty well. So having those two guys together for stretches really helped carry that part of the Celtics offense. And situationally, you could see them taking advantage of mismatches. And to put those guys out there together really kind of created those mismatches. So the Celtics piecing together an offense behind Kemba, behind Jalen and Jason, that combination. So the three of those guys could combine for 82 of the 109 that the Celtics scored. No one else in double figures. No one else scores more than 7 points. No one else makes more than two baskets in this game. So think about that. All of the scoring out there, 109 points, after Tatum, Jalen, and Kemba combined for 27 baskets in this game, the rest of the team combines for 8. That's kind of nuts, actually. 35 baskets in this game. I'm just going to let's work through this math together. 10 for Tatum, 8 for Brown, 9 for Kemba. Okay, that's 27. There's 35. So there's 8 baskets to the rest of the team. Wow. So that's what it's going to be until Marcus and Gordon come back. After I come back from the break, I'll talk about Gordon Hayward's injury because that is a little concerning. That's next here on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
The timeline of this Gordon Hayward thing, I thought it was only the past couple of days that he was hurt and that left foot was bothering him. I saw a video from the practice from Tuesday where the Celtics and the team doctors and trainers were all looking at Gordon Hayward's foot, and he was kind of, you can see in the video from Joe Giza from WBZ, one of their excellent sports producers there, showing Gordon Hayward going through the practice and just, or after practice, and just trying to stop and start and show the doctors and trainers what was going on. So you say, okay, they're checking out something on his foot. Maybe he did something, tweaked something, stepped on somebody's foot, whatever. Come into Dallas on Wednesday, there's a shoot around. Gordon Hayward's there. He's on the floor. It looks like he's okay. No one said anything. Didn't really come up. And then afterwards, we find out Gordon Hayward out. Okay, surprising. And so we ask about that before the game. And Brad Stevens says that is something that had been bothering him from before he broke his hand. Okay? So it started somewhere before he broke his hand, and he was out for 4 weeks. Now, obviously, he wasn't off his feet for 4 weeks. He was able to keep up his conditioning, as he said, as Gordon said. And it seemed to be something that, I don't know, was nagging. So my first reaction there is, well, if you had a nagging injury and you're already out with the hand and something was bothering you with your foot, then why didn't you just sit and rest your foot at the same time? Again, now, no clarification on what that injury was. Don't know what it is. Don't know if it's a plantar fascia thing. Don't know if it's a bone. Don't know if it's a ligament. Don't know if it's a toe, a heel, the ankle. I have no idea. They said foot, sore left foot. So I assume it's not the ankle because they would have said sore left ankle.
Maybe they didn't want to say that and get people worried. I don't know. But so initial reaction, why didn't you rest it before? So it became a nuisance, as Brad Stevens put it. He came back and played three games and seemed to play well. Nothing seemed to be wrong, but the problem kind of persisted. Never saw him limping, never saw it come up on the floor, never really see him have an issue with it in the locker room. I've talked to him a couple of times in that stretch. He's talked to the media plenty. No sign of anything, but apparently there was a problem. They gave him a cortisone shot. It didn't work. It didn't help. So I assume cortisone shots don't really come into play for bone issues. So it seems like it would be some sort of ligament thing. I guess that's my guess. I don't know. They're being vague. All we know is MRI was done 3 weeks ago and he's going to go get another one to see. Also, no structural damage, nothing that seems serious. So it's confusing. I don't know what to make of it. All I know is that it was bad enough for them to sit him in this game. It didn't really cost them, and they've got a game against Cleveland coming up. They got a game against Detroit coming up. They can still kind of manage their way through this without him. So hopefully he gets better and it's nothing, but it's worth watching. I mean, I'm not going to say I'm not concerned about it because the details now have it as a lingering foot thing that's mysterious. And the last thing that we need is mysterious nagging things, injuries for these guys. We'll have to wait and see what the next update is. Marcus Smart, still out, still has the eye infection. He's seeing doctors. Apparently, it's getting maybe mildly better, on the mend, quote-unquote, but still uncomfortable. Again, don't know what caused that. Did he fall asleep with a contact lens in his eyes? I don't know. Did he fall asleep? Did he something else? I don't know. Still not clear, but he's slowly, hopefully, getting back as well. So those are the injury updates. I wish I had more information. I do not know. Gonna come back and wrap it up with some few final thoughts from this game next here on the Locked On Celtics podcast.
Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
I apologize if I'm not like super energetic. I'm trying to not be loud because it's 3:13 in the morning here in my hotel room. And I don't want to like wake people up by yelling and screaming like I normally do. So just trying to be quiet. So some final thoughts here from the Celtics win in Dallas. And really one final thought, it's that, well, maybe two. Grant Williams played 24 minutes and I thought was generally very good. Made a couple of mistakes, but that's, I think, going to be par for the course for him. But I thought he had some really good defensive minutes, especially in the second half. He was, I think, very, very good. Switching, there was one play that I highlighted on Twitter where Dallas was running this 1-4 and they were, and Brad Stevens was calling out from the sidelines that you can switch everything. And they ran the play and Grant switched everything like 2-3 times and enforced a miss. It wasn't a shot clock violation, but it could have been. It was one of like they just got the shot off and the Celtics got the rebound. He did, I think, a fantastic job for most of this game. The numbers don't look particularly gaudy. 7 points, 2 of 5 shooting, a couple of free throws, 2 rebounds. you look at that stat line, you say, you know, plus two. He kind of a nothing game from Grant. I thought Grant was super, super important in this game. He also hit a three, so it didn't take him forever to hit his second three of the game. He was one of three. Yes, one for three from three. He's taking them. One of them felt like it was like halfway down, and it just kind of popped on out. But he's taking them with confidence, and he feels good about it, and he's going to keep on taking them, and that's important. And after the game, Kemba Walker told him, said after to us anyway, that they're encouraging him to score. Go out there and score. He used to score in college. Go out there and do what you can do. He got a mismatch in the post, and he scored in the post. That's what he does. He's a good post player. He was a great post player in Tennessee. So go out there and do it. The Celtics slowly going to bring him out of his shell as far as offensively. And it's important for him to slowly grow into that. He knows, and I got to give him all this credit, and I've done it before, but I'll do it again. Credit for understanding what he is, who he is right now in the NBA, and not trying to do too much. He is setting picks. He set some great picks. He really was an important part of that offense. Even though he wasn't scoring, he was really setting guys up to score and being very important and impactful on that end. Very important defensively, like I said. He just knows that he should be doing all of these things while he's kind of progressing, and he's not going to come in there and score 15 to 20 points a game. But the Celtics know that he can do it, and they're encouraging him to do it. So I thought this was a very good game, an important game for him to be good in, because as good as Daniel Tice was for his long stretches, he had a bad mistake late in the game. With about 2.5 minutes to go, Brad yanked Tice and put Grant Williams in, and Grant did a pretty good job down the stretch. Enes Kanter had a season high 13 rebounds, according to this box score. I thought it was 12, 13, whatever it is, it's a season high either way, because his previous season high was 11. But look at some of the defensive clips of him, and it's not great. So Kanter had a positive impact. I mean, it's the numbers here. He's a plus 21. That's a wild number. But obviously he's going to go out there and rebound. He's going to be able to do that for the Celtics and get those offensive rebounds. I think some of his offensive rebounds were kind of padded, because he had one stretch where he kind of put up like three or four straight shots and got blocked a couple times. And so it was a very Moses Malone kind of padding of the stats there. But shout out to Kanter for having the season high, but also so many defensive problems with him on the floor. It just is what it is. Another classic Kanter game. And that's where I'm going to leave it. We'll come back tomorrow, like I said, and dive a little bit deeper. But those are my thoughts after the Celtics win 109-103. Hope you've enjoyed this show enough to subscribe if you're a new listener. All of you regular listeners, give that 5-star rating, a good written review, and share the podcast. Spread the word. Tell everybody to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.